We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Spiegs, did you see, by the way, the steakhouse dinner that we had steakhouse dinner for lunch Fridays?
I saw a picture of it on the Twitters, yes. What the hell?
You've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
Spiegs, I'd be happy to make you a vegan meat slab the next time you're in, as long as you stop calling Twitter the Twitters.
I'm really too worried about what they put on Instant Chat or whatever it is.
It's a simple request, really, that the under 40 crowd on the show has of the over 50 members
of
the show.
It's not like I don't know how to use the Twitters or I'm unfamiliar.
Gather around the Snapchat, children! I'll tell you the tale of the landline.
I know what it is. I know what it is. I'm drawing attention to the fact that the elderly have a hilarious relationship with social media that they often botch the terminology.
Log off. That cookie makes me nervous.
I myself am not botching the terminology except with one level of added irony to show my wisdom, Shane. Got
was
it?
Including yourself among the elderly also ironic? Or was that just truthful? Because I couldn't really tell.
What is the line? What's the line on elderly these days? 50 can't be the line.
You.
When I renewed my lease, I got a mimeograph. Mimeograph? What am I, 60? I was having a phosphate down at the drugstore, and I was in the middle of reading the new serialized Fitzgerald and Collier's. And oh, I tell you, I was late to an ether frolic.
On the Twitters.
On that frickin' Twitter.
One, two, three.
Here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Thank you for hanging out with us, Parkins and Spiegel, on The Score. Spiegs, I assume, as the old guy on the show, you've had like your morning prune juice and you're all good to go here?
Yeah, thank you. I'm extremely regular. I sat on my keister for a while and then went out and took a nice long walk to get everything going. Watched a little Murder, She Wrote this morning. And then
you've already had
prepped.
Dinner, so you're good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm covered. So thank you. Go to bed right after the show on the reg.
That's perfect. We should set a record on our Twitch chat today for a couple of reasons. But one, I'm thinking people are going to want to see your black eye. Like you're not wearing your glasses today. Like what happened? It looks like you lost a fight with someone who is stronger than you and would punch you right in the face. That's what it looks like.
Well,
with a small fist.
The
a
fight,
child,
no, not a child. Owen. Yeah, Owen came over.
Did
Don't
Owen
you
hurt
when,
you? Yeah, did my 13-month-old injure you?
Okay. Walking back the other day with two bags of groceries from the Mariano's and a slippery.
The Mariano's.
Yeah, the Mariano's. And a slippery corner, and down I go, and the glasses just bashed right into my eye, broke the glasses, my old pair of glasses, and caused a couple other things. And there was some blood. The bananas did not survive. But
there was blood and some other things that you can't speak about. It sounds personal. You got a dysfunction situation?
No, not really. No? Not really. Oh, okay, but just terrible fall, horrendous fall, embarrassing. But I guess it happens to the elderly as you age. It does.
And now I've backed myself in a corner where I'm laughing and making jokes at the expense of old people falling. Don't love how this show started. Talk about your all-time backfires. Didn't see that one coming. Though I got to say, I also... Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't feel like an old person. So, you know, I don't consider myself an old person. But falling on the way back from the grocery store and breaking your glasses, that'll do it to you.
That- and lamenting the loss of fresh produce. Like, oh, no. I broke my bifocals. I'm going to have to replace these bananas.
I'm going to have to go back for more bananas so I can put them in my vegan smoothie. Yeah, that does sound like an old person now. That
it does. I don't buy the green bananas. I'm not sure if I'll be around for when they're ripe. It's a problem for me. But no, you look good. You look very tough. You look like you lost a fight, like I said, with a toddler, with someone with a very small fist. And I'm also wondering on today's program, as I listened to Shane Reardon with his weather update and I've seen your tweets.
Yes.
Am I doing like a solo show with three people who are just following the White Sox spring training game for updates? Like, is that what's happening here? Because I'm not as concerned with Andrew Vaughn's three-run homer as seemingly the rest of the crew on this radio program. So what's our level of attention, Shane, to the baseball game today, out of curiosity?
90% baseball game, 10% you, which is 5% higher than what it usually is.
Awesome. Okay, great. Tanny, ratio about the same on your end there, or what do I got from you today?
What's up?
Okay, good. Sounds good. This is going well. Speaks, I'm surprised you didn't take the day off with a couple of baseball games happening. I saw on Twitter that you want to cry at the presence of baseball happening, even though the game doesn't count and we're weeks and weeks away from opening day.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Danny. Albert Alzolay is done after just one inning of work. His fastball sat around 94.
Great.
I think he touched 95 at one point. The slider looked nasty. And you know that I said he very well might be the second best pitcher in that starting rotation. But it's between him, Zach Davies, and Jake Arrieta. Those guys are 2-2-2 or 4-4-4 in the rotation, depending on how you count it.
No, it was a bold opinion from Spiegs. They will break camp with a 5-man rotation. He said Albert Alzolay will be the second best pitcher, and I was like, really? And you're like, well, it'll either be him or two other guys. Well, that's a different opinion than the one you had 15 seconds ago.
All right, so that's a mild baseball hedge. But hedge is a term I only know from the betting, and we need to talk betting at some point because I think I've figured it out. Danny, like I have found a specific bet that you can do on FanDuel, which I do, or on BetRivers, which I know you do.
That's right.
And it is a specific basketball bet, which is manageable, exciting, a limited scope of attention, a tremendous amount of juice comes your way as you enjoy it. And I keep hitting them. I keep hitting them. I keep winning. So that makes me think that I have figured out this gambling thing, and I will now just merely profit, and I could share that with people if desired at some point during the show.
Please. Well, especially if you're winning. We never turn down losing bets. Or we turn down losing bets all the time. We never turn down winning bets. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
If you know who's going to score the first basket at 15-1 in a random NBA game tonight, I'll raise my hand and say I'm interested in that.
Okay, good. Well, because I hit another one last night. I hit Kristaps Porzingis after hitting Marcus Gasol at 15-1 two nights ago. Hit Kristaps last night at about 9-1. I think I've got it all figured out. Teams that have multiple scorers and the big scorer is really a perimeter guy, they want to establish the big guy option at some point in the first few possessions so you don't just focus on the perimeter. It's kind of like giving the ball to Bill Cartwright at the beginning of every single game of the Jordan and Cartwright pairing during the Jordan years. Go ahead and feed the big and make them think you'll do it a lot when we all know you won't, really. But you do it early to set the tone. So those long shots are paying repeatedly for your boy.
Got to give the big guy a touch.
Yes.
This is an adage as old as basketball. They would do that in third, fourth grade. Like whoever the biggest kid who like struggles to lumber up and down the court,
yeah, man.
Give him a touch early before he gets winded.
Keep him
involved in the game. Yeah,
let him know you're setting the tone for you, your own team, and also the opposition. And again, it's especially when that big is one of your multiple scorers. Like Kristaps is what, the second option, if not the third in Dallas for Luka? So it makes all the sense. Gasol, really the third or fourth option and really only playing because Anthony Davis is out. But so many ways those could pay off, and they are of late. So you're welcome. Congratulations. And I'll give you one later on during the show.
Good. Please. I'm looking forward to all winners that will be happening on today's radio program. So I and perusing what you would call the Twitters.
Yes.
And this kept getting linked to me as a clip. It happened late in the show yesterday. This combines my favorite movie and my favorite player and my favorite team.
Wow.
So I have to say, this might be my favorite opinion in the history of ESPN opinions, at least on the Bears. Chris Tannehill, if you will, please.
Get on the phone. Don't hang up. Get on the phone and do not hang up. I think that at the end of the day, both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have to ask themselves two questions, and which one do they want to answer? Where am I going to be working in 2022? Or how do I build a roster without three first-round picks? I just think that's the reality, is if they don't go get a real quarterback, if they don't go get a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson, it's going to be very difficult for those guys to keep their jobs with just a bridge or a potential substandard starting quarterback in the NFL. But go get one of those guys and you save your job. And it may cost you a lot, but you can figure it out later on. Figure it out when you have a football team that's in playoff contention because of the defense that you have. You guys who know the movie Rounders, I'm a big movie person. I love the movie Rounders. There's the final scene where Matt Damon is talking to Teddy KGB, and he's like, you know, I'm going all in. And the river card is the ace. And he's like, there's no way that ace helped you. And he's like, you're right, I didn't. I flopped the nut straight. Those first-round picks aren't going to help you guys unless you go get a quarterback and they saves you your job. So you got to get on the phone, don't hang up, go all in.
And this reminds me of a scene from the movie Rounders.
Little bit of a stretch, little bit of a forcing of the Rounders reference by Dan Orlovsky.
That's what was striking me there. I love the content, love the idea, love the references. The only thing I didn't love was the direct analogy, which was what he was selling the entire time. I don't think he really got there.
You guys know the movie Rounders. I'm a big movie person. I love the movie Rounders.
So what is the nut straight, Orlovsky? Like, what is the nut straight is the first round draft picks that you don't need?
The ace is the first round draft pick because the ace don't really help you. The nut straight would be Deshaun Watson, I believe, in this convoluted analogy.
Okay.
You don't need the ace because you have the nut straight. You don't need the draft picks because you have Deshaun Watson. Unfortunately, that's not how the NFL works.
No, the ace, Deshaun is clearly the ace.
Yeah, and if Ryan Pace had just drafted Deshaun Watson, that would be his equivalent of already having the nuts straight. So it's I don't love it. I don't love it, but I love the movie.
I know
and
you do.
And here's the beauty of it, Spiegs. Even though he failed to land the plane on that analogy, they kept it going.
They understand what's at stake. They understand it's all or nothing. They actually, I should say it this way. They understand it's either Deshaun or a guy like Russell Wilson, who's probably not going to come available, or they have to turn their attention immediately to drafting a long-term quarterback and developing him. There's no in-between. There is no bridge possibility out there. There is no hold-the-fort quarterback for them that's going to play well enough for them, I think, to maintain their employment status in Chicago. It's either we're going to win next year with somebody because we sold the farm, or rather we gave up a lot in order to get him, or ownership, we're looking to build this thing 2-3 years out with this quarterback that I, Matt Nagy, have put my stamp on as a young quarterback here. Because remember, Matt wasn't there when Mitch Trubisky was drafted. Matt was in Kansas City. He also is someone who, without a doubt, had Patrick Mahomes as the number one quarterback in that draft, and then Deshaun Watson. And I'm not trying to drive a wedge between him and Ryan Pace, but those are just the facts. So if Matt Nagy really wants to go ahead and take control of his own destiny, he has to right now step to the forefront and say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. Either get Deshaun or we're drafting a guy who I want. Because if he doesn't do one of those two things, he's probably going to be looking for work somewhere else in 2022. And I hate to say that, but that's just the facts.
Well, Lou, that's where this gets tricky, though, because they can want to do that, but to quote the movie that Dan talked about, Nick Caserio's got alligator blood right now. He's sitting here not answering the phone, and that's where Houston also needs to be very careful, because I was talking to a team executive who was telling me basically that, look, the best strategy for team building is to take advantage of other people's vulnerabilities. There is no more vulnerable team in the NFL looking for a quarterback than the Chicago Bears. Houston better be careful here. They've got their guy. They've got their victim. when it comes to finally salvaging this Deshaun Watson situation. If the Bears decide to go a different direction, Houston's going to be saying at the end of the day, why did we not do that? Because it's going to be tough to find a team that's willing to give up as much as the Bears will right now.
They just force it in. And then they're like, holy bleep, that's a hell of an elk. Chick, chick, chick. Like, what are you guys talking about?
What's saying? I don't know. There ought to be one.
I thought it was weird that the entire time Orlovsky was just slowly pulling Oreos apart. Like, and the camera was on him. He just chewed up the scenery there on NFL Live or whatever the hell show that was.
And I got to say, we have an issue on the show. We might need someone new to run our Twitch chat because Brian Gertz, who is one of the most valuable people at the entire radio station, doing a great job. And I don't even know if I agree with the last thing that I just said, but I love Brian Gertz. He says that Rounders sucks.
Ooh.
And he doesn't like Rounders. And it's a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. The dirty little secret that you don't want to admit is that it's not a truly great movie. It's not.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. It's a fact-based opinion, as judged by me. But it is. It's a very good movie. And here's what it is. If you love poker and actually play poker and have dreamed of being in the wide variety of rooms that movie shows you,
yes,
then nothing matches the excitement, energy, danger, and fun of poker dreams like that movie. Nothing. So it's if you're not a hardcore poker lover who wants to be in every one of those freaking rooms, even the scariest ones, then you don't quite get it the way that you do. Make sense, Danny?
It does. Still a very fun, enjoyable watch, even if you're not a poker player. But regardless, we could discuss Brian Gertz's thoughts and reviews on the movie Rounders perhaps another time.
Nope.
Yeah, we are going to... 6:05. We'll get to it at 6:05. But before we welcome in our friend and yours, Dan Bernstein, we need to have a little bit of a score flashback. Yes, we are live at Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona, the site of Scorehouse 2. It's McNeil, Parkins, and Spiegel on the score. This is awesome.
It's cloudy out, but the sun has burst through the skies, and there's going to be baseball in a little bit, and this looks like a damn great place to say, all right, this is our office for 4 days.
There are a lot of people in this booth. What's up, boys?
Dr. Joyce Brothers, Jim Palmer, Dick Vitale. Yeah, we didn't wait long to get Scorehouse started, did we?
Lit Dan Bernstein is my favorite Dan Bernstein. When he's just a little tipsy and, you know, he talk a lot, Dan.
He's a fun drunk, I remember.
A very, very, very fun
in a,
tipsy
in a
man.
Good mood, yeah.
It was brought to our attention earlier today that day one of broadcasting from Scorehouse was 1 year ago today. And as you heard in that clip, there were a lot of us in a confined space, in one house, in one broadcast booth. And, Speaks, you are a relatively intelligent and well-read individual. I consider myself the same.
Hmm.
But neither of us are nearly as intelligent or well-read as Dan Bernstein. Just ask him. And so I wanted to bring Dan on for the airing of grievances here. Dan, a lot has changed in the world since then in the last year. What the hell were you doing allowing us to go to Scorehouse? I feel like we were a super spreader event. This is how did you? This was in the news before that 1 year ago. Why were we there?
You know, it's funny because if you remember at the time, David Ross had just gotten over what they said was flu.
Yeah.
And Yu Darvish was also suffering from something.
Yes.
And at the time, we were still being reassured, oh, it's no big deal. Because remember, everybody who was supposedly in charge of this was telling us that it was never going to come to our shores. It was Chinese. This is completely overblown. And as this is all going on, meanwhile...
But you are smarter than that. This is on you, Bernstein. No. You allowed me to pass days around Scorehouse to not anyone else who received them.
Something happened, Danny, because I remember in the week or two prior, Bernsey was in abject terror about this virus that was overseas and theoretically heading towards us, to the point that I remember several of us in the control room shaking our heads going, oh my God, he just needs to stop. This man, what is wrong with him? And then he was right, which is frankly my least favorite part of the virus. Is that
the worst part of the generational pandemic?
Yes,
is that
it confirmed your fears.
I thought about it, too, because there was so much going on. Remember, because I was having we had the Camp One Step poker event. That was our real big last get together. Mm. And one of my co-board members is a doctor who's a pediatric oncologist. And she got there and I said, this coronavirus thing, this is bad, right? And she stopped and she looked at me there and she said, this is very bad.
And then she went into a room with 500 people.
Right. And then I said, should we be here tonight? And she said, for now, we're probably okay. A week from now, this is all going to be a no.
But then you got on a plane.
Well,
COVID-19 is still out there.
You got on a plane. You let me get on a plane. I was passing
and
things
James
around
Zawoski
to people
was
in the
sick.
House.
And Zawoski was sick. Remember, he was nursing something, trying to figure it out. And then we get home. All hell's breaking loose. We get home. And then I talk to my sister, and she has it. She has coronavirus. And she just come from a bat mitzvah in Greenwich, Connecticut. They have to go back, reinform everybody at the bat mitzvah, all the caterers, all the band members, everybody involved. Turns out, not one other case. She's hugging and kissing everybody there.
Oh, God.
There wasn't one other case that came out of it. Nobody could figure out how that happened.
Bernsey was so smitten with the idea of going to Scorehouse and being together with everyone and having
Scorehouse
in the middle of Score Street with the endless
in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, with the endless supply of 19 crimes. And no caretakers anywhere in sight. And he was so smitten with the idea and getting to work. He was willing to throw the possibility of death on the table. It's okay.
That's my accusation is that you knew what we were doing was dangerous and you let it all happen anyway to get away from your family and pretend you were in college. That's the accusation we're making.
Is life not dangerous?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is. It
By
is.
Way, Speaks, did you get punched in the eye?
Yeah, no, not punched.
By a toddler. A
curb hit me. A curb hit me as I was leaving Mariano's with two full bags of groceries, and I slipped. So I went down. A curb hit me and broke my glasses, and it went directly into my eye. And I probably should have worn something that covered this today, as opposed to explaining it to every new person every 7 minutes for the rest of perpetuity.
All right. I just hope you're okay. Did you get checked for a concussion?
No. No, okay. I'm too tough for that. I'm too tough for that, Dan.
Yeah,
I just want to
get your bell rung.
My bell rung. I'm fine. Just give me some smelling salts. Give me two more aspirin. Tape it up and let's go play. That's right.
So what's the new name of Score Stories? Or do you guys need us to help you program anything else on the mid-morning show?
I think Russ put something together where we had Score Stories, Record Scratch, Score Tales, I think is what it is. So it's
entirely
a completely different segment. It's sort of like what happened with Secondhand News and High Noon and just entirely reimagined, completely different.
Score Tales! Stories, words used already. Score Tales. Perkins and Spiegel told us not to use it. Score Tales.
It's a newer type of situation.
That's better.
That's great. You know what?
That's better.
Clearly, us belittling you and making you feel guilty and sending Russ back to the production room made the segment better, so you're welcome.
Content, absolutely. Yes. No, it's the funny thing is, I did not know that as the music to DuckTales. Layla had to explain to me what DuckTales was. Mm. And the most recent segment was it was me reading the letter that I got from David Foster Wallace when he was a total scorehead.
He wrote DuckTales.
I had never, that was the joke. I had never read this letter on the air, and his library has asked for it, and I've denied it, but I just thought it was kind of time, and it's David Foster Wallace's observations about Mike North and Fritz and Tom news and the Vitalmen ads, and it's really remarkable because he was just so into it. And Layla said something like, "This is our show in a nutshell. We're reading unaired commentary from one of the great novelists and writers of his generation, and the intro and the outro is the music to DuckTales."
It's perfect. I heard the letter. That was very cool. And I have to imagine. I don't know the answer to this. Are you a like sentimental person from your career? Because you don't strike me as someone who would be that would like take a bunch of pictures or keep a bunch of mementos. But I could imagine that that is maybe on a short list of things that you've kept and saved throughout your career.
Yeah, that is. And I wish I hadn't done this. As I've gotten older, I've gotten a little more sentimental. Because when you're younger, you just feel like, there's more time. There'll be more this. There'll be more that. And with each bit of sand from the hourglass, you start to appreciate some of those things a little bit more. And I would probably tell younger me that all of my Bulls notes, all of my game day notebooks in which I diagrammed all the plays that they ran, that opponents ran, all of my conversations with the various players and coaches that were in these thick notes. I wish I would have saved those.
Man, that's a cool. You're talking 90s Bulls. You're talking about those years when you covered.
Yeah, all the three-peat playoffs.
I'm flashing right now to a moment where we were waiting in the hallway to get into the Bulls locker room for post game, and I was standing there. And Bernsey, you were there, and I maybe George Hoffman, and George said, "Oh, nice jacket. Nice jacket, Matt." And you said, "Spiegel knows how to dress. He knows how to dress." You know?
Well, and, he doesn't need to hear it from you.
Yeah. Right? But I did. Something in me was like, all right, I guess it's okay that I'm here. That I'm here. I'm getting ready to go into the Bulls postgame locker room. Because it's Michael freaking Jordan and the Bulls in a postgame locker room. It was in the middle of the second three-peat. And I was a producer and part-time host who was not out there on the beat. And you know, when you're that age, you don't know how the locker room works and how all the press stuff works. So yeah, thanks for telling me that I knew how to dress at that moment right there in the hallway.
Do you remember, was that after they won, or was that in the finals? You remember?
No, it was a Miami Heat series when Jordan, okay. I think Jordan scored 52 or something at a United Center game. He scored a lot of points against a Glenn Rice Miami Heat team, if the memory serves.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
So you threw it all out.
My heat memories are more Miami with, remember the North question to Pat Riley?
Of course.
And then they banished us to the rafters and the Raptors. And then eventually we had to negotiate our way back down because I explained I had nothing to do with it. They're like, "Yeah, you're the station with that guy." I'm like, but that's, you know, not filling in with that part of it. I'm a reporter. And, Those were wild times, man. I can't even imagine those scrums and those post games and the access that we had. It's just, that's all gone.
Are you going to write a book?
I'd like to read one first. No, okay. I don't have a book in me at the moment. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't have one in me. I don't think I've done anything that interesting.
No, I agree.
I mean, maybe not a memoir. I mean, a novel maybe someday.
Okay. I was curious. Well, because I mean, if you had all of those notes and original things from that Bulls run, that would sell. That would have been a book. So I was wondering if you had any other angles from your storied and prodigious career. Sounds like no.
Mulligan? Come on.
You're right. His compliments, by the way. Just adjective after adjective. All right, last thing for you in this airing of grievances. Actually, I have two things. True, you haven't seen Rounders?
True.
No, no interest or not a movie person or look down
on
gambling?
Yeah, I'm not a movie person. No, I've just never been all that interested in that particular movie. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't call me. I mean, it could be a very good movie. I just have never
Matt Damon, Ed Norton, John Turturro, just not
love
them all. You're interested? Not right. Love them all. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I thought that was a pretty good movie. A lot of action.
A lot of action.
Well, you're not like a poker guy, really. I mean,
no.
Like the poker tournaments were always excellent. But yeah, but I'm telling you, if you don't love poker and feel poker, that movie doesn't hold the sway that you think it does, Danny. It just doesn't.
I've talked to many people who disagree that
they've
been wrong. Okay. But like, I don't know. It's like, are you an astronaut? Do you like Apollo 13
love Apollo 13?
So okay, but you're not an astronaut, so I feel like
But as a kid, I was a total space dork. Still am.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah,
yeah you got a NASA guy.
You got a NASA guy. Yeah. Okay. So that wasn't the best example.
When I was very little, and I was obsessed with the all three, starting with Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, and I knew all the astronauts. All the missions, and I mean, I would write to NASA every once in a while, and they would send patches. You know, they had all the like official patches, and my mom would iron them onto my winter jackets and stuff. And one year, they sent me—I forgot what year it was, but it was 76. They sent me this huge. I wrote this nice letter, like, "What's the latest? What do you have going on?" And I'd write it again, and a package of this thing called the space shuttle. I'm like, whoa. Mind blown, like this is gonna go and come back and it's gonna detach. Like, they sent me the official literature explaining, and it wasn't kid stuff, it was like the real publicly available stuff. So I thought I was like ahead of time, I was a space shuttle hipster, because when they finally put the Enterprise on the back of that 747 and flew it out to the launch, I'm like, yeah, I knew that was gonna happen, that was in the plans they sent me. I was told all that stuff.
Fascinating. You should watch Rounders. Can you
Hey, is it better than The Sting?
Yes, it's better than The Sting.
Okay, because The Sting is about, you know, scamming and gambling and poker, and I love that movie.
It's better.
Yeah, you should. It is better. Some of the dated feel and timing of The Sting does not hold sway.
And then last thing, as we air our grievances with Dan Bernstein, can you get your new radio partner to stop big timing us on Layla Wednesday, please? She's always busy on Wednesday, and we want to call her and just wish her a happy Wednesday and then mess around for a few minutes and then say goodbye. Is that possible that we could get something, talk to her people or something like that, and get her on the show for us tomorrow?
Wow.
I'm going to give her the response that she gives so many people that I've apparently blocked or muted who say, tell Dan, you should tell Dan, and she says, not my job.
Okay.
And I will say, in this case, similarly, not my job. She did let on late in the show today that she may or may not have restarted dance training. And I don't know she was a pretty high level accomplished dancer as well as violaist. So if she's busy, she may not be big timing you. She may be dancing or training.
Well, that was a combination of hip hop and salsa.
Would still be big timing us just for a reason. It would be like Dave Wanstead.
Yes.
Wani says he's available unless he's doing something, which I thought was very helpful.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
So that might be Layla's response for Layla Wednesday.
Bernsie, did you hear what I asked Wani the Holocaust question? Because the Holocaust question is what I asked Flula Borg. And now every interview, there's a threat of me asking the Holocaust question. I asked Wani about the mindset around the Bears when they traded for Rick Meyer. That did not go well. Did not go well for Dave. I was trying to get him to understand the comp between then and now, going into the final year, et cetera. And instead, he took it as a full-on attack, and it derailed any sense of fun that we had in the interview at that time.
I will never forget that first practice in Platteville. The very first Rick Meyer practice.
He was bad, huh?
Oh, my God. He couldn't play.
Yeah.
And we're standing around looking at each other, like trying to keep a straight face. He is sailing little square outs 10 feet over a guy's head, worm burners at a guy's feet. The cadences were all weird. Like, Kramer would do a cadence, and then Meyer would do, and it would sound weird. Like, guys would look at each other like, what the hell is this guy doing? And he's fluttering balls everywhere, and the practice ends, and we didn't quite know how to ask it. And it's like, is he okay? Like, is this what this is? Or something, is he sick? You know, it was really, and it didn't get any better.
Bernstein and Rahimi. 9 to noon. Great stuff, Dan. Thank you for coming on, and we'll talk soon, man. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. Watch Rounders.
Young Danny Bernstein, you enjoy yourself.
That's Dan Bernstein, who sent us into the death trap that was Scorehouse 1 year ago today. Speaks, I have a nagging feeling that I can't let go of with the Bulls. I want you to talk me out of next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.